Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. We have another great show today dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. And I hope that this is a show that some of you may have considerable interest in. It specifically is a show I've done a couple of times on some other stations, and usually we get a lot of people who say, yeah, I'm very interested in that subject. Today we're going to deal with the prehistoric civilization of Atlantis and what I can tell you about its existence, because it did exist, and some of the things that I think I'm a little bit more sure of than others, and some things I'm not so sure of as well. I'll let you know what I'm not so sure about. And if you would like to call in and participate, you can do so by calling 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S., or 888-815-9756 for those of you in Canada. All right, so many people, of course, have heard about, they've seen programs on it, they've heard of, you know, they may have been involved in even earlier shows I've done about this subject, about Atlantis. Now, Atlantis was a series, actually, of civilizations that changed over a long period of time. How long, you might say? This is going to shock you because, of course, those of you who think that humanity has not been around very long, of course, that's changing depending upon what year we're in and how much paleontologists are finding out about early humans. It's actually been for millions of years. Now you might say, well, that doesn't quite fit what I've read about this theory or that theory. You know, the interesting thing is I'm going to try to explain that today so that it makes some sense. But before I get into that, I want to explain that the entire civilizations, the entire group of them, we'll call it the collective group of civilization of Atlantis, was obliterated, not by just happen chance, because I believe in, and even more than that, I'm virtually certain of, in myself, but you can believe or be certain in whatever level you think of, that our world is a world created by a creator. And sometimes the creator of this world and many others doesn't necessarily believe that there's a reason or good enough reason for a civilization to continue on, because it has become dark and destructive to itself and to others. And because of that, we see civilizations come and go, particularly true in the terms of Earth. There are other systems of life development, even in the physical realm, which is where we are here, in which case those types of systems don't tend to go dark as badly as it does here. When I say dark, I mean moving towards an evil side. And consequently, you don't see civilizations just being as destructive to themselves and others as frequently. But Earth has got a real bad, we'll say, history of this, and prehistory, and we'll say history that is prehistoric, meaning that there's nothing in our history today that we can look to that will directly tell us what it was like at that particular time, because the civilization itself was so disrupted and destroyed that there isn't enough left that we can draw upon from our physical world enough understanding of its existence. Atlantis is very interesting because it was decided upon a couple of thousand years before it was completely wiped out that it needed to be erased, basically. Because one of the problems that this particular group of civilizations, we'll say, had is that it consistently went evil because of misuse of knowledge, misuse of even technology to some extent, and generally a dissemination of information and knowledge that was not judiciously given by those who may have thought they were doing the right thing in trying to do so. And some of us, a lot of people, the people who are listening to me tonight even, in very earlier incarnations, were members of this, or one or more of these civilizations that we collectively call Atlantis. Now, this is most interesting because that implies, and I think you'll follow this pretty well, that we all have some karmic connection, especially those of you who are listening to me from the United States, which isn't everybody. I realize that because I think this goes out and who knows who's listening. And at times I've had people from virtually all countries in the world emailing me, et cetera. So it's possible it could be anybody that, from anywhere. But there is a predominance of people in the United States, North America particularly, so your Canadian listeners, you can fall in line with this, who have had at one time or another an earlier incarnation related to these prehistoric Atlantean civilizations. Now, each one of the Atlantean civilizations is connected to a focus of what is called a ray type. Those of you who say, what's a ray? Well, hey, you haven't been listening maybe before, but a ray type is a stimulation of an energy, of one of seven types of energies that from time to time are focused on Earth, four at a time at the present time. And these energies make up our senses or chakras and centers that support them. The chakras develop the senses in our bodies. And it's very important to understand that when they're in focus, these centers develop more easily and they work better. And when they're running out of focus or they're not in focus, then they don't do as well in development, and it's harder for us to sense as well from those particular centers. So the Atlantean civilizations collectively were stimulated based upon what rays were in focus and not in focus at a particular time. And this was based upon whether the civilization itself was developing under a certain ray focus or not. Very, very interesting, a little complicated. And if you want to know more about it, you can go to a textbook I wrote called Life, Sin, Meaning. And in there, there's a in Chapter 9, it goes through the whole explanation scientifically, more scientifically than I'm going to be able to go into tonight. But nonetheless, I wanted you to know that the foundation of how civilizations in general are developed is along this principle. And the Atlanteans were a group of people, collectively, who were genetically somewhat different from us. That's important to understand. I'm using some science here. We talk about genes. And what this means is that if we could find people who were more genetically linked to these Atlantean people, we would be able to actually determine what I just said to be true. And we're getting pretty close to that. There is some evidence about it, and I'll explain that during the show. It's important to understand, though, that they were not just genetically different. They actually, while they were human, were much more focused in an astral sense than in a mental sense, while we are much more focused in a mental sense than we are in an astral sense, because our senses have pretty much completed, as a race, their development astrally, and now we're working on them developing, and it's, if possible, to join them together in a mental way. And this really changes the complexion or the way that we function. We are much more capable of dealing with mental issues. And we think about things in the world around us much more conceptually than the Atlanteans did. They did have a civilization, and they were able to do things that somewhat resemble the kinds of things we do, but not near at the levels of conceptual development. And only the greatest thinkers in their society really could think similar to the way some people can think today. So it's the complexity of this is that the whole society was really very based upon how people felt more than how they thought. And this gives a different way of living. And many of us were there. So we actually went through this. We could say we evolved through it. The interesting part about that is that evolution doesn't just go in one direction. That's what most people who are staunch evolutionists think. And it's not a bad way to think, because it kind of makes sense. But unfortunately, it isn't correct. Based upon what I have discovered, and some other people as well, evolution can go both directions. It can people can evolve. And interestingly, there is a thing you could call a de-evolution, where after a certain point, because we are structured and genetically actually, we'll say, engineered to be sensitive to certain ray energies in certain bodies at a particular time, just as the Atlanteans were very sensitive to energies that were very astral or emotional, some people would use that word, and they were very sensitive to that part as they developed, that makes them genetically different from us, because we're very sensitive to the further development of our mental bodies. Now, once the rays change and the body focuses change of development in a race, that race can start degenerating rather than improving its structure of its senses, which then leads to its awareness, to its consciousness, etc., because without awareness and without sense, it's a basis of how every part of us really develops. And that's also true for lower-level animals as well. So here we are in a situation where we have people that reach a peak of development, and instead of just advancing ahead, if they happen to not develop themselves in ways that are very virtuous and creative, of more of their creator, and their society doesn't reflect this, then the result of that, you could say it's sort of like a karmic result, is that they're trapped in bodies and senses that don't continue to develop, because the focus of race changes, the focus of development in the particular body changes, and these people de-evolve. For a while, they actually stop evolving, or slow down and then stop. And then after the cessation of evolution, they actually start to diminish. Now, this can take hundreds of thousands of years. It doesn't happen overnight. It's very important to understand we're talking in terms of, like, long periods of time, much longer periods of time than most people think in terms of. So it can fool us. Now, let me give you an example so that this is a lot clearer. The Neanderthals sometimes are thought of, these days at least, as some precursor to humanity as we are today. But there's no direct link, and they're pretty confused about how this really all fits together as a puzzle. And we don't have the genetic markers necessary, because the what they found of Neanderthals so far cannot be genetically accurately determined. So these people that were Neanderthals were actually degenerated Atlanteans during the last couple of races, particularly the one that's called the sixth subrace of Atlanteans, who, because they could not build their society to a virtuous enough level, it's sort of anything that isn't virtuous eventually destroys itself. That's kind of God's principle. Anything that is created into God's image, you might say, and not as God, but as a co-creation with God, that stays forever. So it's not that we're all doomed to be destroyed. It's that we destroy ourselves, because the principles are there that create that condition. And so the Neanderthals were these bunch of earlier Atlanteans that left all of the civilized elements of Atlantis and went off into the Netherlands, you might say, and developed away from what was the remnants of the Atlantean continent, which I'm going to explain more about in the next segment. And they became, over time, a new sort of a subspecies of humans, but they de-evolved from what were the more advanced levels of Atlanteans, but not necessarily as advanced as we are today, into Neanderthals. Now, you might say, well, that sounds very strange. Well, it may, But actually, there's a lot of evidence to support this very concept. And I'll go into that as well in the next segment. A lot to talk about tonight. Think about it. And I'm going to try to explain much more about what society was like in Atlantis and how all the things that the concepts that I'm talking about at the beginning of the show fit into the elements of how and why Atlantis became eventually a disappeared civilization. Well, we will be back in about, give or take, a couple of minutes, and then I will continue on.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
We're back. This is Why Life Is. I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we're talking about the lost civilization, or civilizations, of Atlantis and the prehistoric elements about these civilizations, why it is we don't know really about them, and what there is to know. So I'm going to try to tell you what I know about them. And, of course, if you disagree or if you think, well, you have something to add, you can give me a call, 877-876-5227 in the U.S., and we'll talk about it or anything else you might want to talk about dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. Okay, so as I was explaining, we have a dilemma in terms of understanding our own, we'll say, prehistory. Where did human beings really come from? Because, you see, each one of these Atlantean civilizations, for the most part, did not do completely a virtuous creation of itself. And so some of the people from those civilizations, some more than others, by the way, became stuck and started to de-evolve. Some of them go back in time millions of years. So we have human beings that look like hominids that are actually degenerating aspects of earlier races of actual pure humans. But they have genetically different structure to themselves as well because they were earlier in the development of their bodies, senses, and how they actually thought. So this is a little bit complicated. And unfortunately, because it goes backwards to some extent. It confuses those that today are trying to understand evolution, paleontology, and archaeology. So we have a lot of questions, you might say, about how and where we came from. And they're not easily answered because of this confusion. It's not going to be easy to piece it together for modern scientists, because until they understand what I think I understand, I don't think they're going to get the whole picture. And you kind of have to understand spirit and energy and rays, and that there's a creator, to really get the whole concept. And many people who are into sciences have trouble with including those elements. And so it makes them, you know, shy away from or not want to accept any ideas that involves anything dealing with a god or anything dealing with the creation principle itself. And so that's part of the problem. It's not the same as saying, well, it's all in the Bible and we're just going to follow that. It depends what Bible you believe in anyway. But I think it's more important to understand that this is really based upon still evolution of sorts, but it includes the concept that evolution is not just one-directional. And there's a lot of evidence to support that evolution is not one-directional, by the way. So I just mentioned Neanderthals in the last segment, but there's all kinds of other parts of humanity that seem to have stopped evolving at any particular, any specific normal rate that you would expect. If we look at a thing like the evolution of a much earlier a part of humanity, referred to as, well, there's several names for it. The normal name that most people are familiar with is Homo erectus. What this is it's actually, by definition, homo means human. So it's a form of humanity, but this particular form of humanity spent a couple million years on Earth, developing first apparently in Africa, but then also in other parts of Asia and even to the Middle East. Well, the interesting thing about that is that there was very little development of this particular part of humanity. As a matter of fact, after billions of years, you could say that they were using the same six stone tools for millions of years. Now, if you think about that, and you say to yourself, well, that's an odd thing, because if it's a human being that has like 70 to 80% of our brain capacity today, in some cases it even had more, and it was able to do all kinds of, we'll say, unusual things for an animal. I mean, it was more than this. This was a creature. It was truly a human. Yet, it didn't evolve. I mean, it didn't even come close to evolving. As a matter of fact, there is some evidence that it just literally stagnated. Homo erectus as a human didn't develop itself in any significant way. And, and there's some arguments that, their tools may have gotten slightly better or something. Well, after a million years, I think your tools better get a lot better than slightly better, if they got better at all, by the way. There's a lot of disagreement about that. And so you kind of look at this thing and you say to yourself, well, you know, that just doesn't make sense, really. I mean, if evolution is true, and look how fast we have evolved today, then why is it that this particular part of humanity just kind of languished? They had a lot of cues from the environment to evolve, because, generally speaking, evolution is only supposed to slow down when the environment doesn't challenge anybody. And it's very easy to live, and there's no pressures, and there's nothing else is out there that really forces anything to evolve. Well, that wasn't true. As a matter of fact, a couple of million years they ran, the world was as tumultuous, if not more so, than it is today. We actually have a very nice, peaceful world compared to what was going on a million years ago. The sun was doing weird stuff, and the changes in the climate were more radical, and the world was a lot tougher place, and there were some beasts running around that were very nasty. And so certainly the pressure was there from the environment for evolution to have moved ahead based upon the theories that are presented by that particular part of biological science. So why didn't it happen? Well, because the Homo erectus was really a degenerated species of an earlier, called the third race of Atlanteans, the third subrace. So it's just remarkable that nobody ever seems to question this. I've talked to some people who are very strong into evolution, but when I bring these things up, they kind of scratch their heads and they say, well, yeah, I never thought about that, but there is some explanation. I just don't know what it is. You know, well, if you're an evolutionist, maybe you want to call right now, and I would be glad to talk to you about this, because if you can explain it, that would be great. I'll be glad to listen. That's not to say I'm not an evolutionist myself. I just have a little more, we'll say, additions to my understanding or theory about it. I think evolution is completely accurate if you include the other elements that I'm talking about tonight. So how does this all fit in with Atlantis? Well, you see, these Atlantean civilizations each had their own hallmark in development, and each one created some very great things, but they also had some darkness in them that were destructive. Actually, there was only one of them that wasn't particularly dark, and that was called the fourth subrace of Atlanteans. That was about 1.5 to 1 million years ago. That particular subrace, there's very little evidence that I'm aware of degeneration of human beings that could be connected to them. I've studied and looked at every hominid and every Homo species, and there is nothing that would be connected to this particular subrace, because they did such a good job that if any of them did degenerate, they didn't develop enough people to make a hallmark that we have found fossils from or anything, or any kind of any part of their development, be it the rocks or tools or whatever, that would show that they existed because they were more virtuous. As a matter of fact, when people think of or hear about a golden age of Atlantis, it really had to deal with this particular subrace, right, pretty much in the middle of the development of Atlantis, in which case it was developed more virtuously. And again, the principle spiritually is that that which is developed more in the Creator's image, in the Creator's way of thinking, lasts indefinitely and becomes permanently part of us. And it doesn't go away. It doesn't degenerate. It doesn't follow this de-evolutionary theory. It actually becomes permanently a good part of us. So this particular subrace did an excellent job of that. So let me go through some of these subraces. I keep telling you about them, sort of teasing you. But let me tell you some of the ideas and some of the things I am familiar with. And I'm going to start at the very beginning so that you can kind of move chronologically, we'll say. And the very first Atlanteans that developed a full civilization did so, give or take, about 4 million years ago. It's a long time. And before that, there were seed subraces. And what a seed subrace is, it develops itself, but it doesn't develop much of a civilization, as early as 6 million or more years ago. That's a long time. And for many scientists, they would say, well, there's just no evidence that there were any kind of civilization around at that time, not that there were real people around, and there was just some kind of hominids running around. But the fact of the matter is that this was developed in an area of the world that doesn't exist anymore. And that's very difficult to try to go hunting for fossils or anything in a place where this doesn't exist. That place was an island continent that was sort of between, if you could imagine, this was kind of at an angle, but it was sort of between North America and Europe and the northernmost part of South America and Africa, okay? And so you're going to find some evidence of this continent and the civilizations that existed there in these other places, particularly, especially Africa, for the degenerated ones of people that we find. So Africa seems like it started life, human life, when in actuality what we're seeing is people that are spillovers from this other place that we call Atlantis. Atlantis had many different sizes because it sprang from the ocean bottom somewhere between 20 and 16 million years ago, sort of popping its head up, and grew into this mostly basalt-ridden, that's a sort of a soft type of rock, continent that had some very tall mountains on it, actually the tallest that have in recent times existed on our planet, taller than Mount Everest, actually. And there were four of them that were peaks in the middle of the continent, or close to the middle, wasn't exactly the middle, but it was in part of the continent. And those four peaks still exist today. They are the Azores. Yeah. Now, you might say, well, okay, then what happened to this huge continent that came up 60 million years ago? Well, just like continents can rise from the Earth, and just as human beings can develop themselves, land masses subside. They're subsiding all the time. There's a subsidence going on completely at the beginning boundaries and ending boundaries of continents, because this is the way land masses are continually destroyed and new ones pop up all the time. Yeah, this is how continents actually form and unform. Most people don't know that, but if you're into geology, you do. This is common knowledge today. 50 years ago, it was completely denied by most geologists. Just shows you how things change. Now, the interesting thing about this is that this continent rose very, very quickly, along with parts of the, what we'll call it, the Panama Peninsula and other parts that popped up and kind of cut off the Pacific Ocean from the Atlantic Ocean. And this was important. These things are all planned out. You might say, well, how come the Earth is doing this? It's doing it because it's responding to the thought of greater beings and human beings and how things happen here. And so it's necessary if you're going to build races of people, you need to have some degree of control of where they're going to be living and how they're going to be isolated from prior levels of humanity that may have developed them before. And there was a whole series of civilizations of Lemurians from the Pacific Ocean that had developed themselves, but they were kind of cut off from the Atlanteans most of the time. And so the Atlanteans developed themselves about 4.5 million years ago or so into a real, profoundly more advanced civilization than the Lemurians had been or any other part of humanity had ever become. And they developed all kinds of parts of civilization that we're somewhat familiar with. They had buildings, they had a political system to some extent. Of course, 4.5 million years ago, they weren't nearly as advanced as they were 50,000 years ago or something of that nature. But they were still way more recognizable as being human beings than the people we think of who may have existed 1 million, 2 million years ago that were degenerated Atlanteans living in Africa. Very important that we see a difference here. I'm trying to draw a comparison between the degenerated, evolved people and those who were Atlanteans. So we don't confuse these, because people get confused about these time models that I'm talking about. Okay, and the very first subrace of Atlanteans did an exceptional job of at least becoming a politically organized group of people who recognized that they were one people. That has to do with the ray focus at the time, and it has to do with themselves being sort of self-created as a people. That's what people do at the beginning of the development of a new civilization. Well, we're going to talk more about this when we come back, but I think it's important further to understand that this whole island continent was actually growing and not being destructive to itself for a couple million years. It wasn't like it just suddenly one day fell apart, just the opposite. It developed itself until about 1 million years ago and was a substantially sized continent. It wasn't as big as some of the other continents that surrounded it, but it was one that had a focus, which is called a sixth-ray focus, which meant that it developed the astral nature of people. the very nature of the continent was to develop people's emotional or astral nature, or what people call their feelings. That was a big deal. So it's something to consider. And we're going to go to break again. When we come back, I'll tell you much more about the Atlantean people and go into some more specifics. And it'll be, I hope, more enlightening about how we grew out of all of that.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. McFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
We are back. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And I'm going to continue on talking about the civilizations of Atlantis. Some of them are called subraces, for those of you who are familiar with that term. Its subrace just means that the whole Atlantean race was focused on developing its feelings, its sense of emotion, some people would call it, and it had already developed its physical senses, which was done by this much earlier race called the Lemurians. But that's another story in another show. And so here we are. We're trying to develop ourselves into, and I say our because many of us were actually, some of us were there, not all of us. Because in these earlier sub-races, the people that were there are not necessarily the people that are here today in North America. But, you know, some of them were. So it depends. And it's a complicated equation about where someone ends up. Some souls do not stay in this world, by the way. I mean, a soul from 4 million years ago may have actually left this world. And so it stopped its incarnation here. And it'll go on to a different planet. The majority of souls do stay, vast majority, but some don't. So that's something else to consider. Another show, I realize. Okay, so the Atlanteans were a people who were very focused on how they felt more than how they thought. They had some level of thinking. Don't think that they were mindless in a mental sense. They had some mental thinking, but their mental thinking was very connected to and somewhat controlled by how they felt. And this is different than most people, most modern people are today. That doesn't mean we don't have remnants of this. And some of us sometimes act just like we are Atlanteans, believe me. But it's more of the, we'll say, unusual nature of us to be that way than it is to be commonly like these people Now, were they were congenial? Yes. Were they loving? Sometimes. And sometimes they were much closer to how they felt and better in empathy sometimes than even we are today, because they were focused on developing that. And they weren't as riddled with the conflicts of being egotistical and arrogant as we are, because that can really lead to a lot of negativity in the way that people function. So they did tend not to be very egotistical or arrogant, because it wasn't part of their nature to really think very strongly about a lot of things. They sometimes were overly emotional in comparison, and sometimes they were not functioning empathically or lovingly. But as a society in general, the first subrace and the second and the third actually were pretty loving. They really were. They weren't too bad, yet, at least. They did produce some degeneration in their species, particularly the third subrace did. The first and the second did maybe a little better job, but it's hard to say. And the third subrace of Atlanteans, which existed a couple million years ago, developed their civilization to a much higher level than the prior two did. And what does that mean? They developed things that we're familiar with, like technologies even. And they were able to build much better. And they were able to travel and communicate much better. They were able to do the things that we consider in our society today to be the hallmark of what makes a civilization a civilization. The first two subraces were more, we'll say, more agrarian, less developed in terms of the elements of being able to communicate clearly at any kind of distances, and were therefore somewhat segregated by villages and small towns in comparison to the third subrace, which actually developed cities. I mean, actual cities. They weren't as citified as some of the things we build today, but they had a lot of people living in one location who were able to sustain themselves as a larger group of people. In order to sustain yourself as society grows in numbers, it has to be able to have more complexity to it, because you have to feed people that in mass. You have to deal with all crises on a larger numerical scale than if you just have a village site. And it means that you have to be more advanced. If you're not advanced, then those kinds of civilizations fall apart fairly quickly with the first crisis that takes place, the first major flu outbreak, or the first major war, or the first major anything that puts stress on it. When you have large numbers of people, can cause the entire system to collapse easier than if you have a small number. Can you see that? I hope you can, because that's what happens. And so this third subrace was much more advanced. It had developed three of the astral senses to the point that it was able to be relatively empathic with between and among its citizens. And this allowed those people to be able to overcome the difficulties of living together in large numbers, i.e. being able to develop a city instead of just a small town, and being able to develop the complex needs of the city, which includes waste disposal and how to get enough water and how to have enough food in reserve and all the things, and communication is really a critical element to this. All the things that would be required, they were able to do. That was a couple million years ago. Think about that. A couple of million years ago, there actually was civilization that we could recognize as being somewhat similar to the way things are today. No, it wasn't exactly the same, because the people weren't the same. They lived for how they felt, not how they thought. They would have no idea what to do with electronic devices if they could have ever developed them, because the complexity of their use would have been beyond their thinking processes, and they would have wondered why we even need them, or why they would need them. So their processes involved living life to the maximum in terms of feeling good and being close in an astral sense with each other. But they didn't share great thoughts together because they didn't have great thoughts in comparison to us today. They thought more simplistically, but they still thought in a mental sense. Now, the type of civilization, I'm going to try to paint a picture that we're talking about, are buildings that were made out of, in many cases, by the third subrace, stone. They used materials that would last a long time. They built roads, and they had animals that they used as burden, animals of labor, and they would use animals to transport themselves. They ate both what we'll call plants and animals, and so they had they were omnivores. They were carnivorous, obviously, and unlike their predecessors, the Lemurians, who were mostly but not completely vegetarians. So these are people who we might even say, gee, they're kind of like us a lot, you know, in many respects. They were also people who were very militaristic, the third subrace was, because they had some problems of wars, somewhat among themselves, but mostly dealing with the remnants of Lemurians, earlier peoples who came from the Pacific region of our planet, and who were much bigger and stronger, but nowhere near as well equipped to understand their environment. Their consciousness was much lower in general, and who were more just physically, we'll say, present in the world, but not as much emotionally together. The third subrace of Atlanteans were loving, but they weren't as loving, actually, as their preceding subrace. They were better at developing civilization and somewhat loving, but they weren't quite as loving as the second subrace, which really was had developed empathy to a higher level, but the civilization part's not nearly as strongly developed. They had schools. They had a way of bringing up children that we are somewhat familiar with. They had a governmental system that we are somewhat familiar with, that being that they actually had seven different segments to their society, and they developed a court system and a legal system. But this legal system wasn't based upon thought and logical laws as much as it was what felt right to do, how to live right. They went by a lot of tenets in terms of treating people in ways that was good for the society in general. Very different than the way we codify things. They weren't into codifying laws as much as they were into trying to find ways that people could live harmoniously together. So, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know, you know, this was the hallmark of Atlantean society, was that people were trying to live together in good ways most of the time. Now, out of this third subrace came the fourth, and the fourth actually became the Golden Age. That was like 1.5 to 2 million years ago. And the people who lived during that particular time became great artists. They developed a civilization that was not only effective and functional, but very beautiful. One that would really have impressed probably anybody from today, because they were very concerned about there being a sense of balance and harmony in terms of spirit and material development. And so they wanted a very spiritual expression to their society, which was in part beauty. And their civilization, their cities and towns, were highly artistic. It was quite a society. For about 500,000 years, this was the peak of Atlantean civilization, and it really became the hallmark of what many people in their dreams, if you want to say so, may have about this society. It's what's been written in fantasy sometimes, but it's not all fantasy, about what Atlantis was like. Unfortunately, that society did not remain indefinitely because the societies have to develop, and the next development of society became much more scientifically inclined, much more based upon some levels of concrete knowledge. Now, normally that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing, to take beauty and then build some concrete knowledge upon it, and that was the fifth surprise. But unfortunately, when that happened, what I said at the beginning of the show started also to occur. People started to use knowledge to control and manipulate others and to gain a sense of superiority over others. And this was not a good thing. Some knowledge was disseminated by people who had the greatest levels of it, but without good judgment. You know, knowledge without judgment can be very destructive. It can lead to the use of weapons and the use of society to be destructive to others so that they can be controlled and manipulated. And this is exactly what started to take place towards the middle and end of this fifth sub-race. I'm going through this very quickly, but I'm giving you a feeling for what took place in this other world that is so different from us. At the same time, as people start becoming destructive to themselves, the planet responds by destroying parts of the land they live on. And that's exactly what happened. The continent of Atlantis started breaking up, first into two pieces and then into many other pieces. And some of these subsided, not just below the surface of the ocean, but eventually back into the crust and even part into the mantle of the Earth, thereby disappearing. Large sections of Atlantis just literally disappeared back into the planet itself. So the people were becoming destructive, and this reflected itself in destruction of the Earth around them. Wow. That's something to think about. It has to do with the concept on a mass scale of energy following thought greater than its own, for those of you familiar with metaphysics, at any rate. An interesting point that a whole society can kind of fall apart that way. I think we may have a caller online. Hello, are you there?
Hello, Niles.
Hi, who is this?
My name's Will.
Hi, Will. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. What would you like to say?
The reason I called, I'm supposedly one of the last people to go down with Atlantis, and also was involved with a group that destroyed another planet, but I have absolutely no recall of this at all.
Well, I assume someone else or something else told you this at some point, if you have no knowledge of it.
A past life reading that told me this.
Yeah. Well, the business about another planet I'm not so sure about, but there's a lot of us that were around towards the end of Atlantis, and I'm not going to be able to finish my whole story tonight, but Atlantis eventually went into great darkness. One out of four people became evil, which is a huge number of population figures, you know. This is talking at its height. Atlantis was in the hundreds of millions of people. And yet, and they had colonies. It wasn't just the continent I was referring to, but they had colonies in other parts of the world. And so this part became extremely dark, and unfortunately, some of us were there. Some of us were maybe trying to stop this from happening, and we're trying to make something good out of it. So it's possible that you were there, Will. No kidding. It's possible. I have some memories about it myself from different lifetimes, pieces and other parts of it. It's hard to remember that far back. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But maybe you and I were cousins. Maybe we were brothers. You never know.
Yeah.
Entirely possible in some lifetime. Listen, I've got to wrap it up, believe it or not. Next time, call earlier. I'd like to talk to you more because there's a lot to say. But we're just about out of time for the show, so I've got to kind of wrap this up. So thanks for giving us a call. Okay, so for those of you who want to hear more about this, I could continue the show somewhat. Maybe next time I'll think about it. You'll find out. If you would like to listen in, you can on Sunday, February 3rd, a show, Joining Scientific Thought with Spiritual Thought, which is part two. And you can listen from 4 to 5 Eastern Time, or, of course, earlier in the day if you're not in Eastern Time. Anywhere in the Boston area, you can pick it up on 1170 AM. And if you can't get it that way, you can get it on WDISAM.com radio, and then you can get it anywhere in the country. So listen into that show. I'd love for you to do that. And also, Understanding Evil. I'm going to be speaking over at Glendale Borders on Monday night from 7 to 8:15 p.m. Please come. I would love to see you there. There's a whole bunch of other people going to be showing up, I've been told, and some people. I don't know how many, but there's going to be some people showing up that I haven't seen for a while. So please come. And other than that, I hope that tonight's show has been interesting and a little bit enlightening. We are running out of time, though. So until next week, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.